WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. What's the value of telling the world your story in your own words? For legendary playwright August Wilson, that's a priceless feat. He's widely considered one of the most important Black voices in theater, and he wrote the play How I Learned What I Learned before his death in 2005. Now you can see those lessons come to life in a one-man show at the Broadway Playhouse in Water Tower Place. In a way, it's like if William Shakespeare wrote a play about being Shakespeare. At least that's how Chicago actor Harry Lennox sees it. You may know him from his role as Harold Cooper on NBC's The Blacklist, or Martian Manhunter from the DC Cinematic Universe. He's stepping onto the stage in the role of August Wilson himself for a limited run until May 5th. I sat down with the actor to talk about how it feels now that his show has opened.
I thought it went very well. Of course, I'm not very objective about it. I'm the one guy who probably shouldn't answer that question. But it felt great. You know, yeah. The audience was certainly very receptive. And, you know, honestly, I am not that familiar with the history of this play. I didn't know that it was really in existence until a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But August did it for himself in 2003, as you noted. It's very rarely been done since then. It's been a handful of productions, but I sometimes wonder if he intended it to be performed by anybody but himself.
Yeah, well, you were handpicked from the theater, right?
Yes.
Is that when you sort of became aware that this script existed?
That's exactly correct, yes. Erica Radcliffe, the artistic director, asked me to do it maybe a year and a half ago. And originally it was going to be directed by one of the founders of Congo Square Theater Company, which is, you know, responsible here. And in addition, or in collaboration with the Goodman Theater, my longtime colleagues and comrades, and the Broadway Playhouse. So it's been a great collaboration. They did inform me about the existence of this play, and they have enabled its production.
So I gave a bit of a taste in the intro, Harry, but for people who are unfamiliar, tell us about August Wilson's play, How I Learned What I Learned, and the story that it's telling.
Yes, you know, it's quite interesting. I have a different sort of definition for play. There's a difference between a play and theater. It all falls under in the category of theater. It's a theatrical kind of recital, almost, in a way. In some sense, it feels almost like a set, like a routine, like a stand-up monologue.
Ah, okay.
But of course, it's structured along a group of characters who kind of create a spine for the beginning and the middle and the end. But it's very episodic. It's almost like, it's really a coming-of-age story set in his own words. And you see him as young, mostly as a 20-year-old in Pittsburgh. And then he gets a little bit outside of that area, but it really is how you get to meet these people who inform the figures that he created in his plays.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're familiar with the play, King Hedley II, Hedley himself is an interesting guy. Gabriel in Two Trains Running is another interesting figure you could see drawn from. Elmore in a couple of the plays, King Hedley II, for example. So I think we really kind of see prototypes of these people who became famous in their own right, who are fictionalized versions of these people he's creating here.
Yeah, it's one thing for an actor to step into a character that is fictional. You make it your own, put your own flavor on it, and voila, right? You're playing a real life person who you knew and spent time with when he was still alive. I mean, what was that like, embodying his character?
Right. So I think the first thing, one of the reasons I was a little sort of skeptical about my casting in is I'm nothing physically like August Wilson. I mean, he's a fair-skinned black guy. I guess I have that in common with him, but he's a lot shorter and 20 years older and all of these things. But I'm about the age that he was when we lost him in 2005 now. So to that extent of being a roughly 60-year-old guy who is, who has lived some life and grew up in an inner city in a Rust Belt town, I think we have those things in common.
Yeah.
That's more internal than external. And so my approach, really, my method was really to deal with creating these other characters far more so than creating August Wilson. Mm. I'm not going to be fooling anybody into thinking that August is, come back or that I'm channeling him. I don't think people really knew him. It's not like playing, say, Sidney Poitier or some public figure in that sense. He was a man of letters, so a lot of people didn't really see him. I mean, you could see interviews with him.
Yeah.
But I think he spoke through his writing and through his characters. And I think that he would have written this had he thought that it would have other iterations for an actor to play these other people. So he's one of the characters that I play in this, but I'm mostly using my own personality and my own commonalities with his story as the template from which, I go.
So prepping for this one-man show sounds like it was pretty involved. Mm. I mean, you even likened it a moment ago to doing stand-up. Is that different for you than when you're prepping for, say, the other play that you're in right now, which I'll get to in just a moment, because you're doing not just one show, but you're doing two.
I figured, why not? Get it all in.
Get it all in at once.
It's been 20 years since I was on a stage at Chicago.
And now we're like all hairy all the time.
That's it.
So is that prep different?
No. Yes and no. Yes and no. Obviously, everything is different because it's different words and it's different demands. Like in the case of what I'm doing at Steppenwolf, Purpose, that play, it's one character.
Yeah.
Here, I'm playing multiple characters. But I'm really just sort of drawing from people that I know and sort of doing impersonations, as it were, of them. Because I didn't meet a couple of the people that are referenced in this play, but they were, different than the way they are presented here. So that is, you still have to learn the lines. That's really a great deal of it. You have to learn the blocking. You have to learn the kind of structure of it so that you know where you're going, how you're going to get there, when you can try to read the audience and try to read your own performance and figure out when you can take your foot off of the accelerator, when you can coast, when you can accelerate. So it's really a kind of gauging, of reading the room. To that extent, a live performance is always sort of like that.
Yeah.
When to pick up the pace, when to let it go, when to get soft, when to get loud. When, for example, in this case, I have a microphone. At the Steppenwolf, we do not. So, I know that I can actually get quite soft and play with levels in that way, although in traditional theatrical productions, you don't have that luxury or that cheat, depending on who you're asking.
WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
I did see you in action a few weeks ago at Steppenwolf in Purpose. It's like stellar job.
Thank you.
And for those listening, we're talking about the latest play directed by Felicia Rashad. But you are taking a break from that to focus for these 2 weeks on this August Wilson play. And I think a lot of people are familiar with August Wilson's work. We've got movies like Fences and Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, for instance. I mean, both adapted from his plays. He's been described as one of the most important Black voices in theater. Who would you say he was to you, though, Harry? Because this is one of several of his plays you've worked on.
Yes, I've had the great honor of doing four of his plays. This would be five, technically, if this is considered a play. Again, I think that we can go back and forth on that.
You're
a little
set.
That's right.
Yeah.
I am. To me, August Wilson was a poet, really, a dramatic poet, like Homer, like somebody who told epic tales, created mythological sized characters and figures, almost operatic in their size and scale, their import, as it were. I think he is not just the most important Black playwright of the 20th century, but the most important American playwright of the 20th century. Nobody achieved this at this level that had this kind of agenda and actually accomplished this in this way. People had other things that they were trying to do. I'm not certainly, but in the second half of the 20th century, I think it would be a fairly easy case to make. But I also knew him as a guy. I knew him as a kind of irascible, difficult to please in some ways in terms of approaching some of these characters, but in other ways, a very soft touch. Somebody who, when you were meeting his standard, that he let you know just by the nod of his head, just by the, you know, he would say things to other people more than he would to me, for example. I worked with him on King Hedley II when he was in the room. But he told the director at that time, the late, great Marion McClinton, he said, looking at some section of the play that I was performing, he said, I would take that eight times a week, which is like music to the ear of an actor, because we used to do eight shows a week in the theater. Sometimes they still do, but you know, those things got back to me, and he would ask questions, and we would talk, and I would sit outside, and you know, on a break, and he would smoke a cigarette, and he would just tell these stories. Great storyteller. So that's
how
I knew.
Did I hear that you used to also go out and go on those smoke breaks? You weren't a smoker, but just to be around him.
I would take, that's
just to be in his presence.
Just to be in the room with him.
just
to be outside
smoke.
Of the room with him. Yeah, just to be there.
Yeah.
You know, I knew he was important. I think we all knew that. I had the opportunity to meet him pretty early on, like in 87. I met him in 87. Might have been early 88, I think early 88. But that said, you know, he was sort of just coming onto the scene. He was at the Guthrie and all of these things. But, you know, he wasn't yet August. Well, he had had a play on Broadway, all of these two plays at that point. But that said, he hadn't filtered out to the
masses.
to the masses.
Yeah.
Yet. And he was still at the kind of early stages of his mastery. And so it was really cool to...
How cool for you to have witnessed that.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And now, of course, here we are. You're doing this brilliant performance. Music is also intersecting in this show, which is lovely. I got to say, as a Chicago native, I'm curious what it means for you to be able to showcase this kind of groundbreaking theater work right here in your own city, right?
Yes.
Give us some words of wisdom before I let you go for up-and-coming Chicago creatives and actors who might want to take a page from your book.
Well, I think the first, you know, tomorrow we're honoring at the Goodman Theater the great Ernest Perry Jr., legendary Chicago actor, who from the time I started out in Chicago theater, he was a presence, and I'm honored to be on the program. But that's, I guess, my takeaway and my advice is to get involved with the continuity, with the continuum, that there's a past that we can draw from, there's a present that is now more promising than ever before, and that there's a future. And so always be about the business of leaving something for the next generation of people to come behind. That is a story. This is a story that... it must be told. I'm in the process now, really, of trying to institutionalize this by building the Lily and Marcy Center for the Performing Arts.
Nice.
Where young people will be able to study, really,
in
the hands of the masters, and to be able to participate in the building of this institution.
I love that. That is Chicago actor Harry Lennox. You can find him starring in August Wilson's autobiographical show, How I Learned What I Learned. It's at the Broadway Playhouse in Water Tower Place. Now, for more information and tickets, go to BroadwayInChicago.com. Harry Lennox, what a pleasure.
My own, Sasha. Thank you.
Thank you. This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by me and Meha Ahmed, and it was mixed by Brenda Ruiz. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.